There have been movies created for the purpose of reminding us that life is just wonderful. Pick nearly any of Disney's films where there's most assuredly a happy ending. Isn't life just great? Maybe we can hold that thought long enough to sustain us for a while. We may have momentarily escaped from reality. It will not take us long for us to be reminded that while there is good, there's most definitely bad, more specifically evil, in the world. Natural disasters, sickness, wars and crime and corruption are all still there. For many of us on this earth, especially here in the U.S., life is pretty good. Most have decent enough jobs to provide adequate food, shelter, clothing, and often it overflows into extras like cable TV, more than one TV, my home, more than one computer. For many on this earth, however, there's much sorrow. Living conditions are so bad in some places that people constantly smell raw sewage that is just outside the door in the tiny alleyway. Many suffer from ailments that are cured already in the rest of the world. Some of homes which were washed away by a local flood. So life is more than just being wonderful or terrible, ugly or beautiful. Life is complicated. But praise God that there is more than this life. Is there a real comfort to be found within this life that often feels like the wilderness? Let's turn to Psalm 63, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 63. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land. Where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I'll bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with a joyful noise. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult from the mouths of liars. What is it like in the wilderness? David was in the wilderness, and what qualifies someplace to fit in a description of wilderness? David wrote that it was dry and without water. The necessities of life, food, water, and shelter are scarce and require great efforts to find them. For an extended period of time, without these necessities, it becomes a physical strain on the body as hunger or dehydration, hypothermia, or heat strokes set in. But there's more than the physical. There's emotional and the spiritual. Psalm 63:1 says, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David described it as a weary land, at a place that tires you out and you want no more of that experience. When David wrote this psalm, he went into the wilderness to hide. Once because he was hiding from King Saul, who wanted him dead because of jealousy and hate. How terrible it is to be hated by someone whom you long to serve and give only to your best to. 1 Samuel 23 reads, "And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. The other time, he was hiding to escape from his own son, Absalom, who sought power and recognition by men." Again, how terrible, another situation. "And to escape to a place where you want to leave." Yes, the wilderness is no desirable place to stay. The combination of those physical conditions and the fact that people he loved sought his death must have been very, very heavy on his heart. Yet how could David praise his God in these conditions? David was as low as he could be for the moment. He needed God. He saw his spiritual need for God was like his physical need for water, and he was in a land with little water. When the Israelites left Egypt for the desert wilderness, they had the wrong kind of heart. As it reads, "Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Oh, Israel, if you could have looked to the future in David's example, if you could have seen what David had seen. God had David in the wilderness to bring him closer to himself. David praised God because he needed him. In the psalm before the one we read, Psalm 62, we find David telling the people of Israel why he can praise God. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. God is his salvation. When all around us is black, we have God. We must pour ourselves out to him. And how did God praise God? How did David praise God? He sought him out. He went to the sanctuary to find him. And as there, he praised God with his lips. Apostle Paul was no stranger to problems like David's. He wrote to the Philippians of those within the church who had done ill to him, and perhaps that's why he was in prison. He wrote, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy." Paul wanted to be with Christ immediately. If it was his choice, he would throw himself directly in Christ's arms. But his life was not his own to decide when it would end. That was the Lord's call, and he knew that while he was on the earth, he would proclaim the goodness of God. Christ tells us that the kingdom of heaven is... I'll back up a little here, I'm sorry. Christ tells us the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is the treasure, that God, Christ himself, is that treasure. He is glorious, he is powerful, he is all love, and he's joy. David was not solely in the wilderness because of those who sought out against him. He, like us, was a sinner who called out to God for forgiveness. But when the day of the Lord comes, we are to be changed. we'd be changed. We'll not still stay the sinners that we are. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." God calls us out of the wilderness to find him. He wants us to experience true joy in him. As David, we are to search for him and find him. We are to find him better than life. We are to praise him on our lips with joy. If you could pray with me. Lord, we come to you tonight to study your word and to find what is better than our own lives and our experiences. Open our hearts that we may see you and your will for us. By your grace, we have every pleasant thing that we have. Sometimes we convince ourselves that our blessings are a result from our hard work. While it is true that you reward hard work, all we have is because of your mercy and grace. And Lord, you are the treasure we should seek. Lord, for you, you are better than life. Amen.